Our scripture this morning comes from the book of Acts, in the second chapter, beginning at the 42nd verse and concluding at the 47th. Hear God's word for us today. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added daily to those who were being saved. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I'm going to preach this morning on the theme, the Lord added daily. The Lord added daily. Now, Bill, since the founding of our great nation, leaders have given an annual State of the Union address. This address seeks to share where we have been as a country and where we are going next. Now, borrowing from this wisdom, our Noblesville First leadership thinks that it's essential that you not only know the state of our union, but that you know the state of our church. That you be informed with who your leaders are, but more importantly, how God has led us over the last year and what the journey may look like ahead. Now, a couple of important distinctions between our state of the church and the state of the union. Number one, there will not be a booing section. Now, I know that's not quite as entertaining, but it's that whole treat your neighbor the way you want to be treated thing that gets in the way. Number two, while heckling is kindly discouraged, extemporaneous amens, hallelujahs, and to God be the glories are very welcome. In fact, let's practice. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Okay, I heard them very clearly. I'm not hearing you. Let's try that again. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Okay, there's four of you that will be going to heaven. Other than that, here's number three. Despite being modeled in previous presidential addresses, shoes should remain on your feet and should not be thrown in the direction of the speaker. Now, other than those minor differences between our state of the church and the state of the union, really, they are very similar. In fact, like the Secret Service, our ushers are SWAT team trained. That's special weapons and tactical trained. Or in other words, they are armed and they are dangerous should any disturbances break out. I'm sorry, I read that wrong. They are SWAP trained. If anything gets out of hand, they will sit, watch, and pray. They are armed, but only with bulletins, and they're dangerously friendly. Okay, so you're not going to get to see any hand-to-hand combat this morning, but what you will see is how God's hand has moved miraculously through our ministry over the last year, and with your support, how we will continue to see miracles on Monument Street for years to come. Now, at this time, politicians would turn to the Constitution, but here we turn to Scripture, where we meet the disciples in the second chapter of the book of Acts. And in this text, the disciples have watched Christ be crucified on the cross. They've seen him resurrected in glory and finally ascended into heaven. Now that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father and not right next to them, the disciples may have expected that the miracles that they had seen him perform were now going to come to an end. After all, before Jesus showed up, no one else had the power to turn water into wine. Before Jesus showed up, no one else had the power to make the blind see or the lame walk or the dead live again. Without their fearless leader, the disciples may have resigned themselves to a future that was void of the miracles of God. And they're not the only ones. When God blessed me to start serving as pastor here a little over a year ago, we too struggled with thoughts of whether miracles or even ministry might be coming to an end. For during the height of COVID and the 2 years after, our congregation lost 400 people. 400 people. With so many absent, we couldn't help but wonder if we'd seen the last of the miracles on Monument Street. But my brothers and sisters, if you hear nothing else today, hear me now. We have seen signs and we have seen wonders. Let me say that again because you missed your extemporaneous amen, hallelujah, or to God be the glory. We have seen signs and we have seen wonders.
Amen.
There you go. A little late, but there you go. We have seen signs and wonders as our church has increased worship attendance by 30% over the last year. Now, amen. Now, that may not seem significant, but remember, we're in a national climate where, according to Lifeway Research, more churches closed their doors in 2023 than opened them. And we were amazed that God continues to grow our congregation in the midst of national decline. We've seen signs and we've seen wonders as we have reached nearly 4,000 people across our community events. In fact, of the several hundred that showed up to our Easter egg hunt last year, 60% of them were brand new to our congregation. We have seen signs and we have seen wonders as for the first time ever, we are able to offer Children's Sunday School at both worship services, as well as relaunch our youth group. And in short order, we have doubled the participation in our children's and youth programs. Church, we are seeing God's hand move in ways that defy the statistics, that challenge the norms, and that are nothing short of miraculous. But don't miss this. The real miracle is not just what we've done. No, the real miracle is who is making it happen. You see, when most people think of miraculous movements, they think of leaders. But that's not what we see in the book of Acts. Here, Jesus, the leader of the Christian movement, is no longer there. And it's his faithful followers who are creating signs and wonders in the world. Now, before you throw any shoes, don't misunderstand me. We can never overstate the importance of Jesus. Jesus is the foundation of our church. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus is the savior of the world. But Jesus chooses to make his miraculous movement happen through followers, through people who commit their lives to his message and his ministry. Or, as this video will share, we might think of Jesus as the first dancer on the field until his followers make a solo move look like a movement. Take a look.
If you've learned a lot about leadership and making a movement, then let's watch a movement happen start to finish in under 3 minutes and dissect some lessons. First, of course, a leader needs the guts to stand alone and look ridiculous. But what he's doing is so simple, it's almost instructional. This is key. You must be easy to follow. Now here comes the first follower with a crucial role. He publicly shows everyone else how to follow. Notice how the leader embraces him as an equal. So it's not about the leader anymore, it's about them, plural. Notice how he's calling to his friends to join in. See, it takes guts to be a first follower. You stand out and brave ridicule yourself. Being a first follower is an underappreciated form of leadership. The first follower transforms a lone nut into a leader. If the leader is the flint, The first follower is the spark that really makes the fire. Now here's the second follower. This is a turning point. It's proof the first has done well. Now it's not a lone nut, and it's not two nuts. Three is a crowd, and a crowd is news. A movement must be public. Make sure outsiders see more than just the leader. Everyone needs to see the followers, because new followers emulate followers, not the leader. Now here come two more people, then three more immediately. Now we've got momentum. This is the tipping point, and now we have a movement. As more people jump in, it's no longer risky. If they were on the fence before, there's no reason not to join in now. They won't stand out, they won't be ridiculed, and they will be part of the in crowd if they hurry. And over the next minute, you'll see the rest who prefer to stay part of the crowd, because eventually they'd be ridiculed.
Now, when we watch that video, we not only see some really incredible modern dance moves, but we also see what it looks like to start a movement. Because like Jesus, this leader had to get up and do something that invited others to follow and continue leading the movement even when he was no longer visible. And this, my brothers and sisters, is what we learn about the state of our church, that we are moving forward with God's miracles because of our faithful followers. Now, let me be clear. We have some incredibly hard-working staff, a deeply committed board, and more than capable clergy. But the ministry doesn't create signs and wonders with just a few leaders flailing out front. No, the ministry becomes a movement that changes lives when faithful followers like you join in. We see this in the second chapter of Acts. We saw this in our video, but we also see this right here on Monument Street. Think about it. Each Sunday, when you gather, a faithful follower has arrived 2 hours earlier to brew coffee and to set out donuts. Another faithful follower arrives an hour after that to walk through the sanctuary, praying over each pew and the person that will sit there. Another faithful follower greets you at the door. Another faithful follower hands you a bulletin that yet another faithful follower printed and folded. 60 or more faithful followers lead us in song. 2 faithful followers preach and pray and teach. Another faithful follower monitors the live stream. Another manages the sound. And yet another chats with online worshipers. And while you worship, another group of faithful followers rock your babies, teach them songs and scriptures in Sunday school. And when you get ready to leave, yet another set of faithful followers clean up, break down, and set up for the next gathering of the church. And that's just Sunday. Many more faithful followers participate in the United Women of Faith, the largest unit in the state of Indiana, which raises thousands of dollars for mission ministry in over 24 state, national, and global organizations. Many more faithful followers serve as greeters, ushers, offering counters, or front office volunteers. Many more faithful followers serve as mission, finance, trustees, hospitality, and SPRC committee members. Many more faithful followers pray for the bereaved, distribute communion to the homebound, or visit the sick in hospitals. In fact, as I was preaching my sermon out loud around the house this week, my daughter interrupted me and said, "Wow, everybody at Noblesville First does so much for the church. What do you and Pastor Brittany do?" Brittany, I'm trying to bless you. Have children at your own risk. They are the first ones to cut, and they cut the deepest. Now, while I would say that we do our part, preaching, teaching, marrying, burying, convening, vision casting, all of that, it doesn't change the fact that movements are sustained by followers, not just leaders. The work of Jesus Christ depended not only on the head of the body, but the whole body. Working, serving, giving, praying, and worshiping together. And the state of our church is growing, reaching, thriving, engaging, and transforming lives because of the faithful followers, because of you. But that's not all. The second lesson that we learn from this text that also speaks to the state of our church is that the movement is sustained by the sacrificial giving of the followers. Somebody say giving. That was not as robust as the amens earlier. Now, in our video, we only heard about how to start a movement. But to keep it going for the over 200 years that Noblesville First has been in existence, or the 2,000 years since Jesus' ascension into heaven, that takes more than just following a few simple moves. It takes the deliberate and consistent giving of the people. In Acts, the followers of Jesus are described as taking their resources, some large, some small, but all of them giving generously to their community of faith. And it's because of their sacrificial giving, it says, that the needs of all were met. And church, this is not just a description of the people at the church in Acts. This is a description of the people at the church on Monument Street. Because your generosity empowers our Lunch Bunch Superstars and our Dinners on Us feeding program, who combined served over 2,440 meals for food insecure adults and children right here in our community. Your sacrificial giving purchased the seed, paid the staff, and helped to harvest the 25,000 servings of food donated through our own Teeter Organic Farm and Retreat. Your sacrificial giving distributed life-changing resources to missionaries that we support in South America, in Africa, and in Eastern Europe. But don't miss this. Your sacrificial giving doesn't just create numbers, it creates knowing. Here's what I mean. When Lunch Bunch began serving meals last year, after a group of faithful followers saw a need that we could meet, they connected with a mother who had recently adopted 5 children. Now, originally, this mom was just fostering these children, but she didn't want to see them in the system and run the risk of them being separated. So she made the decision to adopt all of them. And when she did, she lost the stipend and the subsidy that comes with fostering children. And a school break was just around the corner. And she and her children depended on the breakfast and lunch that was provided for free at school every single day. She was not at all sure how she was going to feed all of them. That's when a neighbor shared with her one of our Lunch Bunch Superstar flyers. And this woman brought her children, they had a hot meal, and then they packed enough lunches for the entire week. Then they came back the next week, had a hot meal, and packed another set of lunches for the entire week. And she told one of our leaders that she did not know how in the world this church knew exactly what she needed, exactly when she needed it. But you see, we know. It's because of you. It's because of your pledging, your offering, and your tithes that an adoptive mother of 5 could feed her children. It's because of your giving that a woman who was leaving an abusive relationship was able to start over with new clothes and some furniture courtesy of our rummage sale. It's because of your giving that last Friday night, 26 kids got up on stage, looked out at a smiling audience that taught them all week long that they could be anything that God created them to be. And while these are just a few examples of the many, many miracles that God has done because of your faithful following, because of your sacrificial giving, I can't help but wonder, what more miracles could God do on Monument Street if we were willing to give more? Now, I know I think that sounds like a tall order, especially when you might already feel like you are doing so much. But you see, the last thing our text says is that when the disciples lived and gave sacrificially, God did something too. It says that God added daily to their number. Now, when some people read this, Beth, they might think of transaction, cause and effect. We do this, then God does that. Bada bing, bada boom. And let me tell you that if that were real, if that were true, then the state of our church would be so much easier. But you see, the currency of God's economy is not transaction. It's trust. Let me say that again. The currency of God's economy is not transaction. It's trust. God saw what the disciples gave. God saw how the disciples sacrificed. And God responded by trusting them with more. By adding more people. More blessings, more miracles, because God believed that they could handle the increase. And so I'm going to ask you a question that will determine the state of our church in the future. What would God add to your life? What would God add to your family? What would God add to our church? If you trusted God with more. Now, I don't know the answer to this question, but I do know this. The math will never add up. What I mean is that the text doesn't simply say that God added to their number, but it says that God added to their number daily. Or in other words, God took what little they gave and gave more. Every day, and every day after that. That's why I can say with confidence that the state of our church is not all that it will be. For if we give sacrificially, we will see God add to our number not just weekly, but daily. If we give sacrificially, we will see God add to our number not just monthly, but daily. If we give sacrificially, we will see God add to our number, not yearly, but daily. Because in God's economy, there is always exceedingly, abundantly above all that we can ask, think, or imagine. In God's economy, there is always more. And so, my fellow citizens of the Kingdom of God and the members of the Noblesville First United Methodist Church, may you remain faithful followers of Jesus, giving sacrificially and watching with awe and wonder at the miracles that God will add to our number if we trust God with our giving.